right. Amen. I knew Jonathan when he was that age and littler than that age. When he was barely here. Amen. Come right ahead, Brother Brandon. We're very proud of Brother Brandon tonight. Love this young man. Amen. And glad he has considered. It takes a lot of courage to get up here and do this. If you don't believe that, you just try it sometime. But we're glad he's a part of this. Glad he's a part of our church. And we're looking forward to what the Lord shared with Brother Brandon. He's going to share with us tonight. Brother Brandon, take your liberties.
Praise the Lord. Are y'all doing all right tonight? Are y'all ready to hear some preaching? All right, let's get right to it then. If y'all want to, y'all can turn to Proverbs 18:24. And I will too. Give me a moment. Looking for it. Hang on 1 second. I apologize. Says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I would just like to ask y'all tonight, are y'all nice to people? Would you like to be friends with someone that isn't nice to you? Tell them, sorry. The Bible is saying that you must be friendly to people if you want to have friends. Do y'all agree?
Yes, sir.
It also says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Do y'all have siblings?
Yes.
Okay. Are y'all close to y'all's siblings?
Yes.
The Bible is saying that no matter how close you are to your siblings, God can be even closer to you than that if you will let Him. I would also like to turn to John 15:13-14. Hopefully it won't take me as long. Hang on 1 second. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. God loves us so much that He manifested Himself in flesh, and He came down here and died for us. He didn't just buy us a Big Mac from McDonald's. He actually took physical torture just so we might be saved. Now, if that isn't a friend, I don't know what is. God loves us. He wants to be our friend if we will just let Him speak to us. And if we can trust Him, He won't lead us in the wrong direction. God will never leave us nor forsake us. I would like my brothers to come up here. I have some bracelets to give out because it's a reminder that God is our friend and He won't forsake us, basically. And so if my brothers can come up here. And if they can give them out to everybody. Because I just want everybody to know, just so they will have, if they just look at their wrist, they can remember that God will never leave us. No matter what bad things we do, all we have to do is go to Him, get on our knees and pray to Him, and it's all washed away under the blood. And so, y'all can go ahead and talk to me. That's pretty much all I have to say. It's just an idea on, you know, basically, just remember that God loves you, basically. Because I like to think of God as my best friend, you know. And so, He's my best friend. And
I am a friend of God. 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 He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Yes, I am. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. Thank you for being our friend, Lord. All the time. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. The Scripture said that if my mother and my father forsake me, it said, the Lord will take me up. Now, you know, there have been people that happened to. But the Lord takes you up. He never lets you down. What a great God. Isn't He good? Amen. I like thinking of the Lord, Brother Brandon, also as my friend. Amen. He's my friend. Amen. He's the very best friend that I have. I have some good friends, but He's the best one. Amen. I can talk to the Lord literally about anything. Thank you, sir. I can talk to Him about anything. You know, there are some things that if you're smart, you won't even tell your best friend about.
That's right.
But you can tell the Lord anything. Because He already knows anyway. It's not like you're telling Him something He doesn't know. You're just sharing with Him. Amen. And He responds. You know, He always wants to help. That's how you know a true friend. True friends always want to help you.
Yeah.
They always want to help you. God always wants to help. That's his whole purpose. You come to Him, if you mess up, He's not going to put you down. He's not going to throw you out.
That's right.
And He's not going to turn His back on you. But He's going to say, well, God's going to be honest with you. He's not going to say it's okay. He's not going to say it's all right. He's going to say, well, that was not a good thing. But we're going to make the best of it. Amen. And we learned a lesson, didn't we? And then He's going to help us to go on. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. He's mighty, mighty good. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I feel like we ought to have a little bit of Fry preaching.
All right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Fry, Brother Fry always has a unique way of preaching. I remember the first sermon when you preached here, Brother Fry, you said, what a deal.
What a deal.
Now I remember that. What a deal. Every now and then I say that. I say, what a deal.
What a deal.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, come and preach the word of the Lord. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. You know, Ecclesiastes, I read that there's nothing new under the sun, and I almost preached that again tonight. What a deal. I'm glad I didn't. Brother Brandon, I got the memo. I did. I really did. I got the memo, and black and white, we did good, except for I can't wear the vest. When you get to a certain shape, you can no longer do that. You have to be shaped correctly to wear a vest. You see what I'm saying? You really have to be. But I'm going to tell you, Brandon, I really appreciate you taking the time and the work to do what you did tonight. It takes courage to get up here. I'm talking about right now, it takes courage. It takes courage to be able to stand up and try to deliver what the Lord has put on your heart. I'm going to tell you right now, it takes a lot of courage. I still get nervous every time I stand here. Especially in this pulpit. Do you know why? There's people out here that have heard the very best preaching that ever be heard in this country. And I got to stand here and come behind them. Whoa, I'm going to tell you, Brother Brandon, you did a great job. Just to... Man, what a friend we have in Jesus. Do you know, isn't that special? And what a friend we have in Jesus. Praise God. Well, I'm gonna turn to Job chapter 2, if you will, because I don't want to keep you standing too long. Otherwise, I just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Job chapter 2, verse 11. You get there, you can say amen. Alright, Job chapter 2, verse 11, it says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. You may be seated. Now that's a friend for you. Woo, we're talking about some friends now. That's a friend for you. Job had some friends. He had three friends, three very special friends. I mean, they came to mourn with him and to comfort him. Didn't they comfort Job? You remember that story, how well they comforted him? Ooh, Lord, did they comfort? Well, it wasn't long they were preaching at him.
There you go.
Job, if you just had done right, you better tell us what you did wrong, and we'll go ahead and pray for you so that the Lord can fix all this. They're going to comfort him. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to help you repent. They're going to comfort him. They're going to mourn with him. Yeah, you better straighten up, Job. What kind of mourning and comforting is that? What kind of friend is that? Whew. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not much of a friend, is it? But I want you to know that them fellas, they made an appointment together to go be with Job. They made an appointment. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight for a few minutes. An appointment. An appointment made, an appointment kept. They made an appointment. Our lives are probably directed by appointments. You know, really, you stop and think about appointments. All kinds of appointments. We have doctor's appointments that we don't like to go to. Dental appointments we hate to go to. I don't have much of a problem with dental appointments anymore. I ain't got but 8 teeth left. I'm going to tell you what, I might go 8 times a year before that, but now I don't go at all, man. I'm like, oh no, they took all my teeth away. I got store-bought teeth now, folks. That helps a lot. Appointments are something that we'll recognize sometimes for what they are. You know, we may have a job appointment, an appointment for an interview for a job. And do you know that there was a fellow one time had an appointment. I heard about this guy. I heard the story told that he had an appointment to go to a job interview. And some of you may have heard this. And he couldn't be late. You know, if it's a job interview, you can't be late if they set the appointment. You can't be late. You got to be on time if you want the job. You wouldn't be going if you didn't want it, now would you? Oh, no. You wouldn't go if you didn't want it. But, you know, the guy was on his way to the job appointment. He had already been delayed somewhat. He had his white shirt on and his tie. It's a white shirt. And it's, you know, I've got one of them, too. He had his white shirt and his tie on, and he had to look good when he got to the appointment. Well, he got almost there. Some poor lady. You ever see the lady out on the side of the road looking at her tire? It's flat, and she's just looking at it. Like, if I look long enough, it's going to air up. Whoo! Open the trunk! There's a spare off in there. Get the wrench. You know, my daughter, when she got her driver's license, I told her, I said, first thing you're going to do is change the tire on the car. But, Daddy, it's not flat. Well, it will be one day, and I won't be there. So change the tire on the car. I made her go out there and change the tire on the car. And I showed her how. And then when we got done, I made her do it again. And she did it again. And you know what? She could change the tire on the car. Guess what? One week later, she had a flat tire. She changed the tire on the car all by herself in the dark. But you'll see the lady standing there, if you will. Here's the guy. He was driving by, and here she's standing there looking at that tire, and it's not airing up. It's just staying flat. He started to go on by, but he just couldn't do it. He said, what if that was my wife? What if that was my mother? I got to stop. Yeah, if I don't make it, I don't make it. And I've got to stop and do what I can. He stopped. And he went to help the lady. And do you know what? When he got that spare tire out of the car, there was some dirty in the trunk of that car. I mean, there was some dirty. And he was wearing a white shirt. And you can't get within inches of dirt without it jumping out and getting all over your white shirt. I know that to be true because it happens to me all the time. I seldom wear a white shirt for that reason. I wear pink. I wear brown. I wear green. I wear anything but white most of the time. Because dirt will jump out and jump onto my shirt. It does it. I don't even have to get near it. I never have figured that out. But he got some of that dirt all over his white shirt. He got that tire out. He's changing that tire. And he's sitting there praying about it. And oh, God. Oh, God, don't let me be late. Don't let me be late. And the lady heard him saying that. She said, what's the matter? She said, well, I've got a job interview. And I've been out of work for a long time. I need this job so bad. Then why'd you stop to help me? Oh, lady, I couldn't pass you by. I had to stop and help. I couldn't pass you by. Well, what if you don't make your appointment in time? Well, then I guess the Lord will find me something else. Lord will give me something better. But I'm sure going to try. And he got that tire changed and he took off. And he was in some kind of hurry to get there. He got there, and I mean, the receptionist got a hold of him by the hand and said, you come in here and sit down right here. Wait right here. The boss isn't here yet. She got delayed. She said, well, I didn't have to be worried about being late. He'd already washed his shirt off and in the bathroom. He tried to look good. Well, all he did was smear the grease around. I know how that works. I do it all the time. Ask my wife. She tries to fix it. It's hard to do sometimes. She's a good wife. She'll pour Coke on it and try to get it out. But I got it smeared everywhere by then. So he's sitting there and she comes walking in there. And he recognized her. It was a lady whose tire he changed. And she said, you're the young man. This was your appointment? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, you're hired. He said, but you don't know if I can do the job. I don't care if you can do the job. You have more integrity than everybody in this place put together. You're higher. Do you know sometimes we got to follow what the Lord says to do, no matter what the appointment is? Sometimes we're going to, you know, when you get to the doctor's office for your appointment, how many times have you sat there for an hour and a half in the waiting room before the doctor showed up? Did you know half the time is off having lunch somewhere, not even on the premises? I knew a nurse one time. I worked with her, don't you know? And I knew this nurse would bill the doctor for her time. She never did get the money, but she felt better after billing him. They argued back and forth, and she never paid him either. But so I guess they called it even. But he kept her waiting a little too long. She didn't like it. She was there for her appointment. Would you go get me some water? Thank you. She made it to her appointment, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes we've got appointments we simply cannot miss. There are appointments we're not going to miss. We live our lives by appointments, don't we? Somehow it seems like there's appointments given and appointments taken, and sometimes we make appointments we don't even know we had appointments. Do you know you came here tonight by appointment? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I had an appointment to be here in the house of God, and I'm here. I couldn't think of a better place to be on Friday night. Oh, I need to be here. I love being here. Do you know, I don't always get to make church because I've got other appointments and this appointment. Do you know, somebody told me, thank you, brother, I sure appreciate that. I've got an appointment with a bottle of water. I can't. Get dry mouth real quick. Do you know, this is like being... You could have opened it. This is like being a lion in a den full of Daniels. I've heard Brother Looney preach. I love you, Brother Looney. Oh, Brother Bacon, I'm telling you what. I love to hear you preach. Brother Grissom, you do fine. But, and I'm telling you, brother, I feel like a lion in a den full of Daniels. But I've got an appointment. And I'm going to make my appointment tonight. I'm here tonight. I've got this appointment. And sometimes you wonder why we get nervous. Whew, because we got all these Daniels around us. Man, you know, you don't want to be a lion in a den full of Daniels. You don't want that. But if you got the appointment, you're going to make it. Sometimes our lives are directed by appointments that are unseen. We don't even know, like being here in church tonight. We don't even recognize some of our appointments. Some appointments we miss, or we just plain ignore. Yeah, some of them we do. Some of them we try to ignore and we can't. But you know, you ever get a jury summons? Oh, yeah. You know what I do with them? I shouldn't be telling you this. It's a bad influence. I put them in a trash can. Somebody told me one time, that's not very Christian life. I'll tell you what's not Christian life. Taking that jury summons in your hand, going up and standing before the judge, and he said, well, you can't come here. You're a criminal. I said, but John, I haven't been a criminal for over 30 years. I said, I'm an honest man. I'm doing the very best I can possibly do. I'm living my life to the fullest degree, the very best I can. I may not be perfect, but maybe it's not that I haven't been a criminal in 30 years, but at least I haven't been caught for 30 years. It's true. I have not been in trouble. Well, I haven't been in much trouble in the last 30 years. But I got tired of going to the courthouse with that jury summons. They keep sending them. So now what I do is I take it and put it in the trash. I read it first, make sure that's what it is. But that's usually, I know what they look like by now, and I put them in the trash. And they keep saying, if you don't show up, we're going to come get you and we're going to fine you for contempt of court. I say, yeah, it's pretty contemptible court. It won't let me be there. No, I shouldn't be that way. Really, really, I don't want to give anybody a bad impression, but I cannot stand jury duty. I cannot be on jury duty. They won't allow it. They say, Once you're a criminal, you're a criminal forever. That's the way it is. Nothing anybody can do about it. I am a criminal in the court ties. I cannot stand jury. All right. So I don't make that appointment. I never make that appointment anymore. I don't even try. If they come to get me, they'll have to take me screaming and kicking out the door because I'm not going to go willingly. I don't want to go to jail. Been there, done that, ain't got to go again. Don't want to do it no more. It ain't fun. Woo, Lord. Sometimes we have to suffer the consequences if we don't make an appointment. You know what I'm saying? If we don't go there, if we don't get, man, if you come up late for your appointments, man, some people come late to church. They had an appointment to come to church tonight, but they didn't know what time the appointment was for. They thought it was for 7:30. It wasn't. It was for 7. Oh, I love these girls. I really do. We have a great youth group. I'm going to tell you what, they do fine right here in this church. They help in this community. And you know what? They lift me up. You know, Brandon, your preaching tonight lifted me, son. It did something good for me. Oh yeah. But no matter what other appointments we miss, make or attend. There's two we're going to be at. There's two appointments we got yet to go. If you're here tonight, then you still got two more left. It don't matter what you got in between, but there's two more appointments you're going to make. Two more appointments you're going to make. And that's what we're going to talk about, those two. We're going to talk about those two appointments. Ooh, Jesus, thank you. I'm going to look at them for just a minute. I'm going to turn it over to Luke. I promise you, I'm not going to keep you for a long, long time. I know I had 2 hours, but I'm not going to use the whole 2 hours up. I promise I won't. I won't use up all that time. But I'm going to turn it over to Luke, and I'm going to be, if you want to follow along, I'm going to be in chapter 12. Luke in chapter 12. You know, Brother Grissom mentioned that there's some things that you can tell the Lord that you can't tell your other friends on earth. You can't tell your closest friends. You know, my wife and I were talking about that just the other day. I said, baby, we were talking about a friend of mine up in Connecticut that I'd known for many, many, many years. And some of you don't know, but this particular friend of mine attended Brother Bacon's church, Brother Michael Bacon Sr., up in Connecticut. And years ago. But I told her, I said, you know, we were talking about special friends, and he's my most special friend that I've ever known. And there's a closeness there, that a feeling there that I can't really explain what it's all about. But I told her, I said, baby, there's things that he knows about me that you don't know, and you never will. And if you do, I'll kill him, because he's the only other person that knows him. That's the way it is. Whoa, I'm telling you what, we got people, we got friends, brother. Brother Brandon, we got some friends. We got friends we can talk to. We got friends that people know, that may know things about us. I'm going to start here in Luke chapter 12, verse 16. It says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth fruit plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. You know, this guy had worked hard, and the ground was pretty good. He worked at that ground. He worked, and he got rich. He made lots of money. And man, you know what he did when he made all that money? He took counsel with himself. He didn't counsel with anybody else. He took counsel with himself. He prospered, and then he sought his own counsel. What happens when you seek your own counsel? You're letting a fool guide you, aren't you? Oh, my. Oh, no, I shouldn't be saying that. I'm not calling anybody here fool. I take that back. Ooh, he was letting a fool guide him. That's what was happening. He was letting a fool guide him. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. I mean, I'm talking, he was making some big plans. it fell a major plan. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. He prospered. Then he sought his own counsel. Ooh, he made some big plans. And then he just thought to retire and end all his appointments. No more appointments for me. No more appointments. I'm going to retire. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done working. I'm rich enough now. You know, there's people that work hard all their lives. They will put 13% of their paycheck. I'm talking about 13. Why did I say 13%? Does anybody know why you put 13% of your paycheck in a 401k? That's all most people allow you to put in. They'll match that 13. Many companies match that. They'll take 13% of their paycheck and put it in a 401k and let the company match it. Man, it builds. Henry, didn't work good like that for me because I had to tell them what to invest it in. So mine went down and down and down. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I had problems with it. I finally got tired of all that stuff. Man, I'm tired of losing money here. I took what little I had left out. Whew, man. But you know, smart people that know the markets, can make money off of that. Make a big, you know, people with 401k, they can get rich. They can until they retire and get all that money. That's what this guy had planned. Just, man, look at here. I'm going to build some great big barns, put all this stuff in there because I got all these riches. I'm going to kick back, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm not going to have to do anything else. Nobody to bother me. No more appointments whatsoever. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Man, he was reminded of one unalterable appointment. You have an appointment. You're not going to change it. You're going to be there. I won't take much more time here. I have to tell you something then. I didn't think I'd ever share this with anybody in the state of Texas. In 1981, there was a fella driving along in his car. He just left prayer meeting. He just walked out of the prayer meeting and was going to the store, left his wife and children there, was coming back. That was the plan. There was an appointment to be made, appointment to be kept. And as he began driving down the street, he started going across an intersection. And a motorcycle came. The speed was about 85 miles an hour, was estimated on the motorcycle. The man pulled out. Didn't see that motorcycle. And the scream, oh no! I can hear the scream. I still hear that scream at times. That man made his appointment. When he crashed into the side of that car, he met his appointment. There was nowhere else for him to go. I still hear that scream, that cry, often at night. Sometimes, it gets to be too much. He made his appointment. He met the appointment. The guy on the motorcycle, when he made that appointment, I wonder, was he ready? It's appointed once for every man to die. But then the judgment. I can never forget the grinding crash of metal upon metal. I'll never forget that sound. I'll never forget that scream. I'll never forget that. But where is he today? He made his appointment. He met his appointment when it was his time to die. It took me many, many, many years to get beyond the fact that I did not murder that man. It took me a long time to get beyond that and to get past the feelings that I had whenever those thoughts came and began to assail me. It took me a long time to get past all of that. But the man made his appointment. He was appointed to die. Where is he today? Was he ready? Was he ready? He was on a dirt street doing estimated 80 to 85 miles an hour, drunk on a motorcycle. I don't know that he was ready. Somehow I just don't believe he was. That is something I never intended to share with people in Texas. That is the number one reason I ended up in this state. That is something I fought for many years. I was there for an appointment too. I didn't know it, but that's what I was there for. Just in the year 2005, for the very first time, I got to go to Texas District Camp Meeting. And while I was there, I heard somebody on the platform stand and testify about a young man that had been in youth camp just the week before. Just the week before. A young man, I think he was 14 or 15 years old. They testified about this young man that had been in youth camp, and on the last day of youth camp, he received the Holy Ghost. He had been baptized in Jesus' name in his home church. It was, I can't remember where it was, his DFW area. It seemed like it was Garland or Arlington. But as they began to testify about it, as he left, 2 or 3 days after youth camp, it had happened during the day while we were at camp meeting ourselves, the adults were. The boy drowned. He had an appointment. He drowned in Joe Pool Lake up here in Arlington. I remember that much about it. He had an appointment, but was he ready? Because just a few days before that, just 2 or 3 days before that, he received the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. This young man made an appointment. I mean, he got to his appointment full of the Holy Ghost. He got to his appointment. He was ready now. I'm telling you right now, he was ready. He had something inside of him that made it so he could stand before the throne of God. He could stand before judgment. He could stand in judgment. Let me tell you something. We're going to make these two appointments. It's appointed one for every man to die and then the judgment. We're going to make these appointments. And the question is about these appointments. Are we ready? It's an appointment that's been made from the beginning. It's going to be an appointment that's kept. Are we ready for that appointment? Are we going to be ready when it comes time to make that appointment? Brother Grissom.
One thing I am very reluctant to do is to judge a person concerning eternity. I suppose the reason is because hell is just too horrible to even contemplate. I can't even imagine anybody going there. I don't want anybody to go there. And so I'm not going to send anybody there. If God chooses to do that, in His wisdom and His own justice, that's fine with me. I'll abide by His judgments. But I do know tonight that there are preparations we have to make. And Brother Fry also know that we don't know the timing of that appointment. We know the surety of it, but we don't know the timing. I'm sure when that man got on the motorcycle, he intended to return home just like always. Didn't intend that he would wake up in eternity before God. You see, that's the thing. You just got to be ready. You just got to be ready. It's okay. You just got to be ready. But you know what? It's not hard to be ready. That's what this altar's for. Young people and adults alike, everybody. This right here is your best friend. That's why for the life of me, I don't understand why service after service, many people never come down here. I don't understand that. That's a mystery. I don't understand. This is the best friend you've got in your life right here. And I cannot understand what is so important that you just can't get here. I just can't understand what is so fascinating about a pew that would keep you from an altar and an appointment with God. I just don't understand that. Well, Brother Grissom, I don't need the altar. I've already got the Holy Ghost. Well, you need the strength that's here. You need the grace that's here. The fact of the matter is, when you hear something and don't respond, then it gets easier next time not to respond. And it gets easier the next time not to respond. And it gets easier the next time not to respond. Until finally, you will not respond. I just want to be sensitive. Coming to the altar doesn't mean that you're a gross sinner. People are not going to look at you when you come down here and wonder, what in the world did he do today? No. When I hear the word of God, something in me wants to do something to respond to that. Something inside of me says, I just heard it. I don't want to just hear it. I want to do something about it. Didn't James warn us about that? He said it's like a man that looks in a mirror and sees what's wrong and then just turns around and doesn't do anything about it. Thank God for the altar. This is your best friend right here. This is how you'll stay ready for your appointment. Is you'll find your way. It doesn't. You just need to make a habit, whether I give an altar call or not. Say, I'm going to go pray a little while. I'm just going to go tell the Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for reminding me of some things. Thank you for teaching me some things. Let's stand together. Amen. We do have two unique appointments. It's appointed to man first to die, and after the judgment. Amen. And so I want to introduce you tonight to your friend right here. It's the altar. And this is the best place you can be for the next few moments of your life. You cannot spend your time more wisely. There's nobody more important for you to talk to than Jesus. I said there's nobody more important for you to talk to than Jesus. Amen. It would be good just to come and just tell the Lord tonight, thank you for reminding me of my appointment. Sometimes I get busy. Sometimes I get so busy, I don't remember that I'm going to have an appointment one of these days. It's going to happen some way, and I'm going to go to be with the Lord. I just want to be ready when that comes. I don't want to be afraid. I want to make sure that everything's okay. Every day, every morning, every noontime, every night. Jesus, I just want to be sure that everything's all right. I want you to strengthen me, strengthen my weaknesses. Because
you require more of me today than you did yesterday. I know a little bit more now. I'm more mature today. I can do better today. More grace has been given to me. So God, I determine that I'm going to grow today, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to do the very best that I know how. Forgive me for any wrongs that I've committed, any sins that I've committed, any words that I've spoken that I should not have said, entertained thoughts that I should not have entertained, actions that I committed that I should not have done. Forgive me today, Jesus, and just let me be right. Help me, God, not just with my actions and my words, but I want to have the right motive. What I do, even if it's good, I want to do it for the right reason. God, help me to just be right with you. Help my attitude to be right. Help my spirit to be right. Renew me in the Holy Ghost. Renew me in the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, let me feel the joy and the peace and the power and the righteousness of God. I want to be right with you, and I need you to do that. I can't do it by myself. I've got to have your help tonight. I've got to have your help tonight. Jesus, let me never be too busy for you. Let me never be too busy for you. Let me never be too busy for you.
It's the only life that pays.
Hallelujah.
When you recall you have but one life. Oh, only one life. So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do His will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall you have but one life.
Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, I want to give you everything tonight. I want to give you everything tonight, Jesus. I want to be right. I want to be right in every way. I want to be right, Jesus. I ask your blessings tonight, and your mercy, and your help, and your grace. Oh, how you love me,
Jesus.
Oh, how you love me, Jesus. What a friend you are. Hallelujah. Thank you for loving me like nobody else ever loved me before. Thank you for understanding me like nobody else.
I could never
forever will understand.
No,
never. You're so good.
Make
thank you,
heaven
Jesus.
My
I love you. I love you. Hallelujah.
Let
hallelujah. That's
me
it.
Walk with
that's it. Just reach out
you,
to Jesus.
Jesus.
Let's just reach out to Jesus tonight.
No man.
Thank you for being there all the time.
Alone.
Just as close as the mention of your name.
Oh, without
oh, boundless love.
I could never.
Amen. Unending mercies. Abundant grace.
I could never.
Thank you, Jesus.
Make
thank
heaven
you, Jesus.
My
thank you, Jesus.
Home.
That's it. Oh, I give you all, I give you all, I give you everything tonight. Hallelujah. Yes,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I pray now.
help me to give you everything, Jesus.
Alone.
You know me. You understand. You know what the obstacles
For
are. You understand. My reservations.
I shall never.
I don't want to be reserved. Open book.
Make heaven.
I want to be an open
home.
Book. I want to be an open book tonight.
And the middle.
I want to be an open book.
The mountain.
Oh,
with Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
And the bed in the valley is so low.
Praise you, Jesus.
The night. He found me. Went to him with my troubles I go.